Then it is just about a minute past 5 p.m., as it almost always is when I get on this microphone on Wednesdays. It's time for American Hit Radio, 90.3 WHPC. WHPC HD is the station. I'm Tom Ryan, your host for the next hour, and with me, of course, my lovely wife, co-host, and engineer extraordinaire, Heidi Morales Ryan. I say that because, honestly, she is relatively... Like, compared to a lot of the other people who have been here at the station for decades, Heidi's, like, relatively new. And she had no desire to do this. I kind of, like, put it on her. And she ended up having, you know, rather than just coming in and accompanying me while I spoke, she decided that it was just worthwhile for her to be doing something constructive. I cannot do engineering while I do this show, because I'm usually surrounded by papers and books and everything, and I'd get it all over the board, and I wouldn't even be able to see the faders. So I need an engineer. So very lucky. Anyway, back to topic. What we do on Wednesdays and what we've been doing forever is looking at albums in depth, one specific album per show. We've been doing this for a long while now. I'm not sure how many years, but I think it might be close to 10 now that we've been doing it. The idea is to play 1,000 albums. And 1,000 albums, at 50 a year, would mean 20 years. And we are about halfway there. We have two lists, the top 500 of the top 40 and the alternative top 40, looking for 500 in each. And today's album is one of the alternative top 40 albums, which is to say an album that did not make the top 40. In fact, it didn't even make the top 200. It peaked in the United States at number 228, back when they would do that. They would actually count even beyond the top 200. Released in March. Actually, I'm sorry. It didn't go to number 228. This is album number 228 in my chronological list. Oops, my bad. It went to number 119 on the top 200 chart. That makes more sense. All right. I'm just reading it funny. And it was released in March of 1977. It's by a German band. You probably know the name, Kraftwerk. And it's called Trans-Europe Express. Now, this is an album. Well, I'll start at the top. Because this album is weird for me. Every album that I pick on this list is supposed to represent an album that I consider to be one of the best albums of all time. And I always said, and I've been saying it for 30 years now on this show, that great music never grows old. So, Trans-Europe Express elicits something like an existential crisis in me when I hear it after all these years. It has gone on to earn relentless praise from just about any source that rates music. And I know, because I look at every single type of critic and rating system that there is. But I would hear awkward redundancy where others found hypnotic beauty. And so I somehow missed its allegedly transformative power. Figuring this to be a shortcoming on my part of sorts, I returned to the album often in an attempt to find the qualities that eluded me all of these years. Time spent as if I were on a therapist's couch discussing a failed marriage. I mean, I will acknowledge that the record has qualities, but I still come away with a shrug and the innate sense that my ignorance is a shortcoming, thus forcing me to analyze what blocks me from seeing what the rest of the world freely acknowledges. Of course, in my defense, I have made excuses, two of them, actually. The first and most powerful excuse relates to Kraftwerk's earlier album, the album Autobahn. The very first time I heard that album coincided with my very first psychedelic experience, to be honest. At the time, I never heard of the group or the sidelong title track, and a good friend supplied a, quote, safe space in his basement and played the entire album with the lights out while we conjured fantastical images in our brains relating to the sound of driving endlessly. Naturally, the psychedelics made the moment unforgettable, but the suggestive music provided safe fodder for our imaginations. It was a fantastic moment, and as a result, I always think of Autobahn with admiration and awe. The first time I heard Trans-Europe Express had been under much more ordinary circumstances, thank goodness, and my first impression revolved exclusively on its repetitive nature, not just within the album itself, but the thematic redundancy of endless travel that was more than adequately represented already on Autobahn. I mean, they released an album called Autobahn. Everybody loves it. I included it on mine. And their next thing that they put out that everybody loves is Trans-Europe Express. It's not a big change. You know what I mean? They're not really reaching much deeper into what their abilities might be or what their topics might be. So there simply wasn't enough of anything new for me to get excited about. My second excuse is based on the timing of the album's release. Few years were more transitional than 1977, and I already had my head spinning from trying to retain my appreciation for Steely Dan and Fleetwood Mac, while simultaneously getting my brains kicked in by bands like The Clash and Television and the Sex Pistols. A duo called Suicide also appeared at this time, playing simplistic synthesizer riffs, and that struck me as an extreme punk version of Kraftwerk. I even saw them perform live at CBGB back then, and they scared the bejesus out of me, although I now consider their album to be somewhat ridiculous and dated. I wouldn't include the Suicide album on my favorite albums of all time. My point, though, is that I had enough on my plate, thank you very much, and considered Trans-Europe Express to be peripheral under the circumstances. So at this point in time, I simply throw up my arms in surrender. After four decades, what is the point of trying to ignite emotions that never really existed in the first place? Our relationship got off to a rocky start, and I never really recovered beyond developing a grudging appreciation for the album's charms. When I play the album for others, by the way, part of my therapy is to see what opinions this album elicits from other music fans. So I'd be very interested to know what listeners think as we play this entire album, if you haven't heard it yet. Because there is usually a mildly positive experience, but I have never witnessed anyone swoon with delight, as I might expect from an album so highly regarded. Quite honestly, for an album that the LA Times called, and this is just one quote, quote, the most important album of the past 40 years, unquote. The general reaction that I witness from friends and musicians is quite muted. I can't help but wonder if the person who wrote that was even higher than I was when I listened to Autobahn. In the long run, maybe it's not a shortcoming to feel the way I do, but rather a matter of circumstance. I completely understand and appreciate the album's influence on artists such as David Bowie, Afrika Bambaataa, and Radiohead, and I acknowledge its enormous impact on artists like Gary Numan or New Order, Devo, Depeche Mode, and the subsequent entire EDM movement. So maybe we could admit that the timing just wasn't right for us, and I can pay my respects and simply move on. So let's find out, because I haven't played this album before airing this show because I already knew what I thought about it. So it'll be interesting now for us to do this together and hear the album in its entirety, since I've probably given it about over a year since I've played it in its entirety, but the last time, maybe more than 2 years. So let's get this party started. It's called Trans Europe Express. As I said, the album is Kraftwerk, and the opening track is Europe Endless. I'll see you in about 10 minutes. Thank you. opening track for Trans Europe Express, Europe Endless. Maybe it's a really good thing that I took some time away from the record, because hearing it now, it's quite pleasant. I think sometimes I expect too much, because there was so much happening in 1977, so much music with action and a lot of political importance. And this seemed like it was almost redundant after their previous album, as I had mentioned earlier. So I think that forced me to have like a preconceived notion about it. But that's like long gone now, now that it's something like nearly 50 years old. Plenty of time for me to, you know, basically stop and just accept it for what it is. And I'm just going to like just listen to this on at face value, because that worked fine for me, that track. The band themselves realized that they wanted to like change things a little bit about the way that they were doing things from back from the days of Autobahn, because they were noticing that they were maybe getting a little bit looser on stage than they should. And they said, quote, and I think this quote's pretty funny, "It is not easy to turn knobs on a synthesizer if you are drunk or full of drugs. We always tried to keep very aware of what we were doing while acting in public." So, again, we're not talking about, I mean, you know, this isn't Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band here that we're talking about. You know, these are like, really, it's two guys. It's Florian Schneider, and really Ralf Hütter should be the first name that's mentioned, because he's credited with writing virtually all of the music, while Schneider gets lyrics for some of the lyrics and some of the vocals. But it seems it's those two in particular, though, who are responsible for what Kraftwerk is. If you look at the album cover, there are four men on it, but the two of them, Karl Bartos and Wolfgang Flur, are literally just electronic percussionists. They know how to program a drum machine, is what that means. You know, that's that. And that's two of them that are programming drum machines. So everything else is the product of the work of Ralf Hütter and Florian Schneider. Another interesting quote was, "If we can convey an idea with one or two notes, it is better than to play 100 or so notes." So there you have it. Now, the next track more or less describes that mentality, or that philosophy, rather perfectly. It's called Hall of Mirrors. It's rather a deadpan topic, very similar to the song that will follow it, in terms of like the mood. But they said that they wrote the lyrics because they wanted to speculate, quote, how stars look at themselves in a looking glass. And Hütter and Schneider have described the song also as being autobiographical. So there it is. It's called Hall of Mirrors.
Und entdeckte eine Spiegelung seines Selbst. sogar die größten Stars entdecken sich selbst im Spiegelglas. Sogar die größten Stars entdecken sich selbst im Spiegelglas. Sein wirkliches Gesicht. Und manchmal einen Fremden kannte er nicht. Sogar die größten Stars finden ihr Gesicht im Spiegelglas. Sogar die größten Stars finden ihr Gesicht im Spiegelglas. Verliebte er sich in sein Spiegelbild und dann wiederum sah er ein Zerrbild. Sogar die größten Stars mögen sich nicht im Spiegelglas. Sogar die größten Stars mögen sich nicht im Spiegelglas. Person, die er sein wollte, und wechselte in eine neue Persönlichkeit. Sogar die größten Stars verändern sich im Spiegelglas. Sogar die größten Stars verändern sich im Spiegelglas. Thank you. ersten Stars machen sich zurecht im Spiegelglas. Sogar die größten Stars machen sich zurecht im Spiegelglas. Stars leben ihr Leben im Spiegelglas. Sogar die größten Stars leben ihr Leben im Spiegelglas.
That is the Hall of Mirrors, or Spiegelsaal. I think that's how you say it in German. I'm not very good at German. I'm not very good at any foreign language, to be honest. But the German in part, German, French is even worse. So anyway, that's that.
Your Spanish is pretty good.
Oh, that's only because I've got to pick up some of it from you.
Oh, yes. Muy peligroso.
Hey, let me remind you that you're listening to WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City, New York. The show is American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC, and we are here every Wednesday from 5 until 6. There'd be one more track on side one of the album that is very similar to Hall of Mirrors, so let's go straight to that. It was also a single. This was one of the songs that was released as a single. Like, the Hall of Mirrors was about pretty much people staring at themselves. Well, this is about people who can't stare at anything because they're not really people. It's called Showroom Dummies.
1, 2, 3, 4. Take a walk through the city. We are showroom dummies. We are showroom dummies.
Trans-Europe Express a concept album, but it's actually got two concepts. Of course, there's the whole thing about European transit and the roads and its rails, but there's also this thing about reality and image, which the last two songs were about, Hall of Mirrors and Showroom Dummies. Now, the rest of it, though, is pretty much all about Europe and its transportation system. And it's funny because Kraftwerk actually went to railway bridges to listen to a train, and because they figured that would help them with their music to come up with like some sort of a disco thing. But they decided that trains do not make danceable music, so they decided to not use anything that they got from the trains. However, I'm gonna play a series of songs to get as much in as possible and also let it flow. Here is the title track, Trans-Europe Express, and we'll let that segue into Metal on Metal and also Abzug. We'll be right back.
Express. Lens, you are Express. Lens, you are Express.
Leave Paris in the morning with TEE.
Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express. City, meet Iggy Pop and David Bowie. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express.
Drop in a few words here, though, without fading out the music, just to make sure we have enough time. But I want you to know this. All Music, Mojo, Rolling Stone, Slant Magazine all gave this album 5 stars. Q Magazine said that this album, quote, changed the face of American dance music, unquote. And one of the most compelling beats of this or any other era. Amazing. I will give it credit for being basically electronic music's birth certificate, as one person said. I like that. It's true. Think of bands like Depeche Mode and such. This is where it all came from. So we can celebrate this for what it eventually did for the changing music. And we'll leave it at that. The tracks coming up after this one ends is Franz Schubert. And then a less than 1 minute piece called Endless, Endless, which is a return to the original theme. Take care, folks. See you on Friday.